All right, I'm going to talk today about a study we did of the relationship between unmet needs for healthcare services and employment. All right, now I realize that I forgot to do a conflict of interest slide, but in fact, I don't have any conflicts of interest, so let me just get that clear from the outset here. I'm going to say a couple of obvious things that I think everyone in this room knows, and that includes the fact that people with disabilities have more difficulty accessing healthcare services. Especially people in public programs like Medicaid and Medicare. And unmet healthcare needs are associated with negative health outcomes. Poverty, poor overall health, reduced community integration and quality of life, et cetera. Rates of labor participation are very low. And surprisingly, the relationship of unmet healthcare needs to employment among working age people with disabilities has not really been examined, so we decided to examine it. And one little fact that I found that I think is not common knowledge is that in a study it did in 1997, the General Accounting Office estimated a savings of $3 billion in lifetime benefits for every 1% of disability beneficiaries who left the rolls for work. That's a lot of money. So it indicates that even with fairly modest increases in the number of people going back to work, you could save some significant amount of money. So our research question was, are unmet needs for specific disability-related healthcare services associated with employment status among working age adults with disabilities enrolled in MassHealth? And MassHealth is the Massachusetts Medicaid program. That's what we call it in Massachusetts, and actually lots of people know that name and don't even realize they're necessarily on Medicaid. So we did a survey in 2005, end of 2005, beginning of 2006, of 990 randomly selected MassHealth members with disabilities. We looked at disability and health status, work participation, use of services and supports of a variety of kinds of healthcare services, but also vocational rehab services, transportation, housing. We looked at a lot of different variables. There were over 200 questions on this survey, and that was after we cut the number of questions down. the respondents were between the ages of 19 to 64. We used both mail and phone in English and Spanish. We really tried hard to do some outreach to the Spanish, the Latino community. We got a response rate of 44%. Not bad. We're pretty happy with that. We measured demographic characteristics, all of the usual suspects, the sorts of things you'd expect, age, education, race, Latino ethnic status. We looked at whether people lived with a partner or a spouse, all the usual sorts of demographic characteristics. We looked at health characteristics. We looked at different kinds of disabling conditions, psychiatric conditions, physical conditions, co-occurring psychiatric and physical conditions, and other conditions. I don't want to go too deep into it, but we asked quite a few questions about different kinds of disability, and then we categorized them accordingly. We asked the usual sorts of questions about physical health status, mental health status, and presence of mobility limitations. And we did also ask about people's access to healthcare services, whether they saw a healthcare provider in the past year, Medicaid health plan they were on, fee-for-service, primary care clinician, managed care organization. We asked those sorts of questions, and whether they'd had a problem with transportation in the past year in terms of getting to medical care. We asked about six disability-related healthcare services that we felt were particularly tending to support work. So we looked at people's access, need for and unmet need for medications, mental health services, substance abuse services, medical supplies, medical equipment, and personal assistance services. We also asked people about their employment status. What we actually asked them was, are you currently working at a job for pay? And then we asked, to try to get at need and unmet need, we asked them, do you currently get any mental health services, for example? We asked the same sorts of questions for personal assistance services and the other services involved here. And then to get at unmet need, we asked, do you need any mental health services that you do not get? And then if they answered yes to that, we asked one more question, which was, if yes, why aren't you getting all the mental health services that you need? So that's how we approached the questions of need and unmet need. We also asked a follow-up question of workers and non-workers. For workers, we asked, using a scale of 0 to 10, how important are mental health services in helping you to keep working, or any of the other kinds of health services? Non-workers, we asked, would you be able to start working if you got all the mental health services you need? So that we were trying to get a sense of just what these particular services meant in people's lives related to going to work. So we looked at, as I said, a variety of different variables. These are actually only the ones, we looked at the differences between working and non-working people. We looked at using chi-squares and ANOVAs, and these are the variables that turned out to be statistically significant. It was hard to fit all of them onto one slide, so we decided to just put the variables up there that turned out to be statistically significant. And as you can see, age, the older you were, the more likely you were to be not working. Race, white people were more likely to be working. People whose primary language is English were more likely to be working. Folks with psychiatric disabilities and co-occurring psychiatric and physical disability. Health status, folks with whose physical health status was excellent, very good or good were more likely to be working. Folks with good mental health status were more likely to be working, et cetera. Access to health services, if you had any current unmet health care need, you were less likely to be working. You were less likely to be working. The more unmet healthcare needs you had, the less likely you were to be working as well. Okay, I'm trying to blast through this here. Okay, thank you. And I assume you can all ask me questions later, so if I skip over something too quickly. We threw everything into a logistic regression to see what really predicted employment status. And these are the characteristics, the variables that most predicted health employment status. Age. Age predicted employment status. Physical health, self-rated physical health status predicted employment status. And the number of unmet health care needs predicted employment status. So this shows you differences between groups in terms of needing disability-related healthcare services. Now, I don't think the results on this slide will surprise anybody. Folks with psychiatric disabilities and co-occurring psychiatric and physical disabilities needed behavioral health services. That it included mental health and substance abuse services more, significantly more than folks with physical disabilities. That's no surprise. I should back up for just one moment and say we took the six disability-related services that we had identified and we categorized them into three categories. We kept medications in its own category, and we put mental health and substance abuse services together. And we put medical supply and called them behavioral health services, and we put medical supplies, medical equipment, and PAS services together and called those physical health services. So anyway, folks with psychiatric disabilities and co-occurring psychiatric and physical disabilities needed behavioral health services significantly more than folks with physical disabilities. And in the same vein, folks with physical disabilities needed physical health services more than either folks with psychiatric disabilities or folks actually I should say people with physical disabilities and co-occurring psychiatric and physical disabilities, needed physical health services more than individuals with psychiatric disability alone. And we internally we call this the duh slug because I think it's fairly obvious. It all makes sense. All right, now this slide, we looked for differences between rates of unmet need in all of these various categories. And we found that among all members, that actually there was a significant, there were no differences between the various disability groups, but there was a difference in the rate of unmet need for physical health services as compared to behavioral health services and medications. All members experienced significantly more unmet need for physical health services than they did for behavioral health services or medications, which we thought was very interesting. And I'll talk at the end about some thoughts about why that might be. And as I mentioned before, we did look at the self-reported importance of specific healthcare services to work. And it ranged from 6.1, workers receiving a service, how important was the service to their ability to work, ranged from 6.1 to 10. Now, the 6.1 for medical equipment is kind of interesting. Medical equipment, of course, encompasses a very wide range of kinds of equipment. It ranges from wheelchairs and oxygen tanks to reachers. So there are any number of things that could be considered medical equipment. And something that's interesting and doesn't really show up when you do a mean is that four of the nine people there, about 47% of the sample there, actually rated medical equipment as a 10. So I think one theory is that that kind of reflects the fact that there are a lot of different kinds of medical equipment. That is one potential explanation that we thought about. So anyway, but personal assistance services for the folks who needed them were rated a 10. Medications also rated very highly. Non-workers who had unmet needs, who were asked, would you be able to start working if an unmet need was met? Their responses ranged from 9% for medications to 24% for medical supplies. Those would be things like ostomy bags, catheters, any number of things. So all of that was very interesting as well. So what are our conclusions here? Well, clearly these healthcare services do play an important role in supporting Medicaid recipients' efforts to work. And although it may not be a silver bullet meeting the healthcare needs of individuals with disabilities whose needs are currently unmet, meeting the unmet needs of non-working Medicaid recipients with disabilities may produce modest increases in employment for this population. And so, as we saw in one of the first slides, even if you can achieve a modest increase, for every 1% you save $3 billion. You could generate some significant savings that we could all use for lots of other things that we can think of as well to meet a lot of unmet needs. So we were very pleased with the results of the study, and we'll hopefully be doing more work in this area. Thank you.